This is a production of Cornell University.
I'm calling the meeting to order. We'll start with roll call of voting members. Arts and Humanities, Kristen.
Here.
Jesse.
He'll be late.
Becca. Life Sciences, Tyler.
Here.
Elena.
Here.
Sandra.
Here.
Physical Sciences and Engineering, Ariana. Sarah.
Here.
Alex.
Yeah.
Zenda.
Here.
Professional Schools, Alexei.
Oh, yeah.
Jonathan. Cheyenne.
Here.
Social Sciences, Margaret.
Here.
Carol Rose.
Here.
Wendy.
Here.
Next on the agenda is approval of the minutes from our last meeting. Any amendments?
Motion to approve the minutes.
Seconded. Any dissent to approving the minutes? Seeing none, the minute is passed. And next we have presentation. First we have from the Career and Development Specialist, Kyle Wilson.
Thank you, Rina. Hi, my name is Karen Zhao.
Hi.
I'm from Cornell Career Services, which is campus-wide career office at the Cornell University. You guys own the Cornell store, right? So behind the Cornell store, there's already this old building. That's where I am. So as Rina said, I'm a graduate and international advisor, which means I work very closely with graduate students, especially research-oriented graduate students, including MS, MA, or PhD. So anyone who are interested in pursuing or just exploring career options beyond academia, feel free to contact me. I'm happy to work with you to explore various options that you can have beyond faculty career. So today I'm here to just share what I can do for you. So I work with the student in the three manners, typically. So first, I work with them individually through drop-in or individual appointments. So if you are interested in talking about job offer or any negotiations or job search, just feel free to contact me. I'm happy to talk to you. But if you are interested in doing quick drop-in or cover letter review, you can use drop-in service every day from 2 to 4 o'clock. Okay? Second one, I work with the students through the workshop of programming. So this year I had a new program for graduate international students called CUCI. CU is Cornell University, Career Certificate Program for International Postgraduate and International Students. So you can have this kind of red card. We have five workshops this semester. Two of them already kind of are done, and three of them are coming soon in this semester. And not only is a typical career workshop, I also have this year a special event, actually this week. So I have a career panel workshop that called Any Person, Any Study, Any Career. So I envision like if Cornell really pursue any person, any study, why not any career? So I invited a graduate panel, which means who already completed their graduate study and then pursuing their degree or their profession beyond academia. So this Thursday, I invited five panelists who actually work in academic library. So if you are interested in actually kind of continuing your research, but for one of your faculty or for different options, academic library will be actually a good option for you. And another one is coming is April 5th. I have a New York City trip for networking for PhD in humanity and social science. So I got many kind of messages from students. They say many events are planned for them. So I try to develop the program for humanity and social science so that they can get benefit from us. And lastly, I also work with the students through a lot of research delivery. So I created two new newsletters, bi-weekly newsletter. First one is a graduate career newsletter beyond academia. So you can subscribe to the newsletter, I think you can see the link here in the front desk. You can get a handout. And any events outside, inside Cornell, regarding your career development, also career opportunity in industry, government, non-profit, higher education. Also, another newsletter is an international career newsletter, so it's for the international students. So you can get events regarding international student career development inside outside Cornell. Also, you can find the job opportunity in the United States and outside the United States. So it's free, so please use it. And I'm actually very happy to hear, because I always try to connect with the PhD or like the graduate students, but it's very hard to find. I'm here. So our conversation through individual appointment with your field will be totally confidential. You don't need to worry about kind of revealing your career interest in the beyond academia if you are kind of in the next the place that beyond academia is not kind of recommendable. Okay, and lastly, I have a really exciting news. So I hired a graduate peer advisor. He is a PhD student, computational biology. So he will be there in May library to serve you through drop-in services 2 hours per week. We haven't decided the exact date yet, but we are going to launch these drop-in services for graduate students in 2 weeks. Okay. Any questions?
So if you have questions or comments, you can raise your placard or hand, and then I'll call on your name. Matt?
First off, thank you very much for the presentation, for being here tonight. My question is relatively one way, in terms of what does your office or anything do to work with professional students, so that be Johnson, the Bethany area, or law? I know Johnson and law have their own career services office, but I don't live an undergrad here. I know my undergrad, ILR, also work with Center for Career Services. So do you work with the professional schools at all, or are they really completely separate?
Yeah, I should have mentioned. So these positions mainly focus on because those who have a great career services, and education level, they are dedicated courses. So, for example, Arts and Science Career Center do not serve graduate students, even though you are from Arts and Science College. So that's why I'm here to serve them, because they don't have a person to have career development.
Thank you.
Okay.
Do you
repeat the date of the networking event for humanities and
social sciences? Yes, it's actually April 5th. But the deadline for the application is February 16th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Follow up question to that, is there like a Facebook event or like a social media post we could share on the Facebook page with that?
You mean our Facebook page?
No, our Facebook page. Is there like a thing that we can share?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You have something? Okay.
Yeah, I'll
make
sure.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. We can share
it.
Okay.
Wendy, how can we go about maintaining the reservations for companies on the other
How to make your appointments?
Yeah.
You can call our collaborator services, bar or office. So,
should be on my.
Yeah. When you go to that career services website, they have a phone number. You can call them. Phone desk can help you find the time. Or you can shoot me an email, and then you can kind of find the time that works best for you. Yeah.
What's our email address?
GS643@cornell.edu.
Any other questions? So I guess I'll ask, how can the grad student help you? And I know this is a new position, right?
Uh-huh.
So, like, do you need any help with the newsletter or anything else?
For the newsletter, yeah, I mean, I can find them before, more like, at the beginning, I was thinking of a focus group, actually, for graduate students, but it's kind of very hard to find people who want to kind of talk about their needs in terms of field academia. So, I'm actually talking to Mina last year, but actually, if you are interested, you can contact me, or maybe I will contact Lina to fix some application, applicants who can actually contribute to our services. Because And I was a PhD student, so I used some part based on my experience. Also, my dissertation is about how doctoral students should make their career choices. So I know that based on that, but I'm not sure if really everything is applicable to Cornell situation. So if you are very busy to kind of participate in this kind of event, you can shoot me an email. So based on my experience, this kind of event is very helpful. Or if you are student organization, need some type of professional training for PhD or like a master student, I'm happy to create a workshop for you.
Any questions?
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here.
So next we have a presentation by Nate about the GPCI.
Presentation is a strong one. So I want to talk about the GPCI, the Graduate Professional Community Initiative, briefly. So I know I brought this up a few times. So I just want to remind you what it is it's a needs assessment and a strategic plan. It's a collection of all of our community kind of concerns and needs organized into one place, and so we can address them bit by bit. It's a living document. It was originally started in 2007 with a presentation to the Board of Trustees called the Graduate Community Initiative, and it's grown a little bit since then. It's meant to be revised and updated at least every 5 years. So if you count then from 2007 to 2017, now's the next revision. And it's also a very collaborative effort with a lot of community input. They had a lot of forums, town halls, the Dine and Discusses kind of got started then. They even met with not just leaders within the Cornell community, but they also talked with landlords and city council members and people in the city to really encompass the entire town gown kind of area. So looking at all of the, talking to all of those people and then the entire graduate professional student community, they organize all the needs into 8 different topic areas. So the Graduate Professional Student Center, career resources, mental health and well-being, diversity and international students, family services, housing, transportation, and the sense of community. And, you know, if you recognize that a lot of those things we're still talking about today, although maybe in a little bit more of a piecemeal form. So you might think, like, you know, I talk about the GPCI a lot. You know, what really is the GPCI? What has it done for me? Well, the GPCI has been the document driving how Cornell approaches and interacts with graduate and professional student community. And you can see this in that a lot of the things that have gone on recently or things that you've heard about have their roots in the GPCI. So here's a small selection of some things tied to the GPCI, one from each category. So remember, the Big Red Barn had a $1.2 million renovation recently, which came from that Graduate Professional Community Center evaluation. We just heard a little bit about career resources, the Graduate International Student Career Advisors hired, and there's future faculty, non-academic career programs. We have increased graduate student-specific counseling for mental health and well-being. Leadership Council, the OISE Leadership Council, came out of the GPCI originally. Family services, greater visibility to the parental leave policy, as well as the expanded child care grants. The Maplewood Housing Project is the one I know in most depth, has its roots in the conversation surrounding housing from the GPCI. Transportation, the lower cost graduate student commuter parking permit established for BLOT. I don't know anything about BLOT, but that sounds like a nice perk. And then sense of community, academic and fellowship application writing support programs established. Jan will tell you about writing boot camp and those things. And so a lot of these events and things that bubble up and that we hear that seem kind of one-off actually are coming out of a cohesive plan. We just don't talk about that plan too much. So, but you might be thinking again, it's 10 years now. You know, when's the next one coming out? The thing is, no one really knows, and that's because the ad hoc committee hasn't met. We haven't called the group together. The other problem with that is that we really haven't had any volunteers to participate in the ad hoc committee. Most donors, even within the GPSA, don't really know what the GPCI is. And we just really, you know, myself included, we just really haven't stepped up to participate. It's a big time-intensive process if it's going to be done right. And we've let ourselves, you know, get busy with a lot of other things. So it just doesn't happen if we don't want to do it. So what we need to do is basically, I think, as a group, we should decide, is the GPCI something worth continuing? If it's something we want to continue doing, we should really commit to that and then commit to participating in that process. If you're interested, now that I have a little more time freed up recently, please email me and we'll try and get this thing going. We're not going to be ready to meet the August 2018 deadline, which, you know, we had originally hoped, but we can start the process, and even if we're a little late, I think it's still better than nothing at all. So, are there any questions about the GPCI?
Questions, comments?
In terms of, if someone were to be interested in being involved, how much time are we looking at for
proceeds? Very variable. If you're just interested and curious, send me an email and we can talk about it initially. And if you just want to like stay in the loop, that's fine. To like, if you decide later you want to be more involved and take on leading some more investigative tasks, we can be very flexible with that. I should have mentioned, if you want to read the GPCI, because it's a written document, there's a website for it, and you can just Google search GPCI, Cornell, you know, whatever, and it will show up there. There's a website that explains more about it, and the executive summary is about a page and a half long that gives you a little bit of the history as well as some a little more depth to the explanation of the logic of why it's been established. And I would highly recommend, even if you don't read the whole thing, read the executive summary.
Other questions?
This isn't a question, it's a comment. The GPCI ad hoc is also still looking for a chair. We all care deeply about it, but we cannot chair that committee in addition to sitting on the executive committee. So if anyone is interested in chairing it, it really needs someone to take the charge and actually run with this and work on getting this document ready, even if it's not by August 2018, getting it ready at all.
All right.
This is just a comment suggestion, because I do know that when David was president, we met briefly with people that were interested in the GPCI ad hoc committee, and that didn't fly. So just to emphasize again the importance of the document, I'm wondering if there's an opportunity for us to bring together the current chairs of SAC, DISC, and member organizations that help advocate for, these are internal committees that help advocate for students, both their current leadership and their future leadership to, I don't know, take a month, pause what you're doing, and focus on this. So, well, a month is an understatement, but whatever, a couple of months to work on this. Because this is important, and it's something that comes about once every 5 years. And really, the leadership, both in terms of SAC and this, among other leaders in GPSA, know what the pressing needs are of the community and might be best suited, in case there are no other volunteers, to take up that load in the interim for a short period until we can realize this. It's a suggestion for
Thanks, Arvin.
Thanks. Comments?
Questions? Are you only looking for members from the GPSA, or do you want to open up the community and maybe get
more? Everyone. Anyone in the graduate professional student community is very welcome to participate, just like any actual committee on the GPSA. Cool. Thank you all so much.
Thanks. And next on the agenda, we have Zenda, which is going to talk a little bit about the GPSA Slack channel.
Yes.
Hi, everybody. I'm just going to demo it. Hi, so if you haven't met me before, I'm Zanda Schofield. I'm the Division Chief of Physical Sciences. Sometimes I stand up here and sometimes I talk a lot. But one of the things that I wanted to talk about today is the fact that we have this thing called Slack, that we've made available for everybody who wants to keep up with sort of GPSA goings on in the Cornell community. Is there anything to this?
Yes.
So, yeah, so the idea of a Slack, how many people have used Slack before? So a fair number of you. It's a communication platform that's aimed for being able to, It's a communication platform that's aimed at being able to allow larger groups, like teams at a company or something like that, to communicate with each other about different possible subjects that they want to work on, and also potentially to just help communities talk to each other about fun stuff. So as a community that involves both fun stuff and a lot of work, we thought this might be a useful platform for people to be able to talk about the goings on of the GPSA when we're not in these big meetings. So I just wanted to show you right quick what it looks like. Let me zoom in really far. So the URL of this is cornellgpsa.slack.com if you want to follow along on your computers. And if you want to join the GPSA Slack and you have not yet, you can join with any cornell.edu account. You don't need an invitation from me or anything like that. You should be able to just click this button that says create an account right here, enter in your NetID, and follow the process, and it should get you set up with that. You can do this on a web browser, there's a desktop app, there's a phone app for whatever phone you have, and so on. So I'll sign me on so you can see what it looks like real quick. That's my NetID, sorry. You don't have to watch that. So if you open up this panel right here, because I think this was confusing for a couple of people who were first testing this out, this is what the main interface looks like for Slack. On the left right here, you have a bunch of different what are called channels, and channels have different subjects that are associated with what you talk about. So there's a general channel that's for all kinds of things that you want to bring up. There's a live channel where I have been usually posting updates as quickly as I can type them out about what's going on at the meeting. So if you want finer grade notes in the minutes, you can get them right here, and so on. I see you, Tyler. Okay, so if you want to join another channel, there's a lot of channels right here that I'm not a part of already. I think the default is that you get added to the general channel and the announcements channel, but you might be, for instance, interested in joining the channel that's associated with your division. So, like, the physical sciences channel for me, because I'm the division chief of that. So then you can, sorry, I should go through that a little bit faster. You can click the channels button, scroll down to the different channels you can join, and select the one that you're interested in. And they've usually got a description on them. There's one for students, and there's ones for divisions and so on. If one that you expect to be there isn't there and you think that people would be interested in it, you can also create a new channel, type the name, type what it is, invite people if you want to, and so on. Let's see, anything else to do? I guess the last thing to mention on this, you can type messages, obviously, that's the primary functionality, but you can also attach other things. And if you're interested in, like, sort of keeping up with things that are going on the Slack, but you don't necessarily want to be checking it all the time, if you go into your preferences, you can scroll down to the bottom of the preferences window on the notifications tab, and it will let you get email notifications, which will sort of just keep you posted with some of the most important messages that are going on and things like that. And there's lots of different options for that. So I just wanted to show you that that's an option and recommend that you join so that you can start having conversations outside of these meetings about things that people are interested in talking about. Thanks. Any questions?
Questions? Comments?
Sorry, I went a little faster.
Yeah.
Is there an app for Slack on your phone?
I said that. There is an app for Slack on your phone. I think there's definitely apps for Android and for iPhone. I think I had an app for Windows Phone too back when I had one. So I think they've gone pretty broad for that. It's originally, like, it's the main point of this. Like, it's a free service for people who want it with a limited archive. But the main point of Slack is actually to be for corporations. So they've made it pretty adaptable for people's devices. And I know that I have the phone app that works really well for me. You can support multiple Slacks. It's good.
Any other questions or comments?
Oh yeah, and if you can help me live keep up with things, do that, because I could use your help. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, so next we have division breakouts.
Okay, so last
a student member, we know we use social sciences over here, physical sciences back there, biological sciences down there. Jesse, do you want to merge the social sciences today? Since we have humanities and social sciences, can you have a collaborative division breakout?
We can talk about that if you
want. Sure, please do. Is that just me? You want to do that?
Sure.
Okay, so humanities is then over there as per usual. And I have professional schools and field 2, 3, 4 organizations come in here. I'll lead that division for you. This should have been updated from last week, because that was
not even a little bit.
Oh, Matt, that doesn't look like this one got updated.
It's very bright.
So it might be easier for folks to sort of swing this way so you're not like staring right down the barrel of that light.
Not so bad.
Yeah, that's still out of date.
I mean, it still has the voting member and everybody from last year.
Okay, so Matt, let's figure out what's going on. Are they getting emails from it? Yeah. So they're right on the... They're walking on that. One of you go out. I'll go through and I'll update them then from the sheet. From the new website. So are you... You're going to be 3, 4? So did you hear 3, 4 last year?
What?
It's your letter.
ESL. 92. Thank you.
No. It's just because I had to leave. I'm really happy that Joseph was here. You can go in there and put me in your life. It's because I had to leave. So normally you're fine. And you're with. Okay. So as we are in the conversation, one is sort of anyone who's a voting member, and instead of being the division chief, still need to find a division chief. The second thing we sort of wanted to talk about a little bit today was mental health resources for graduate and professional students. Sort of focusing on a topic that we've been talking about a little bit. One of the things in particular are really interested in is how acceptable the website is. So the students in your field or in your school, when they go to search and find these resources, are they able to do so using the Cornell Health website? We sort of heard like a mixed thing from a couple of people. Like some people say it's totally easy to find it, some people say that it's really hard. So if anyone's had has checked out the website and has any feedback from the website.
I'm going to be a little bit more on this coverage that we just have.
And we're told that in one day there may be a
So when you're referred to on campus, we always hear from campus employers that they tend to refer grad students to college because they're thinking like it's long-term care and they can't support long-term care at CAS. So inevitably they're going to put you out of the community. Is that like motivated to people like in your campus or do they just have everybody kind of like that on the campus?
I don't think it's a good thing.
So we'll also be sending out like a link to the form. So if you want to put a story or like share that with friends in their field or organizations that have really bad experiences, we are sort of starting to like look and collect that information. But it'll all be anonymous, so we'll see who's the mandatory, who it is, but if anyone knows if you have particularly bad experiences on the house and would like to share that with us,
So you're not specifically asking just about the website, but like the whole program here?
Yeah, so that's what I'm sure there's a part of like ready to just like move forward with the gender issue. Something that we're really worried about is not being left behind. Like sort of like I mentioned last week, a lot of times we talk about like students, but what they really mean is undergrad students, not graduate professional students. So we want to make sure that we're just like really active and participating in that conversation and moving forward. So that's going to be how they sort of step forward their strategic plan for dealing with mental health resources here at Cornell. It's sort of based on the from our understanding. Based off of the conversations they have with the Gen Ed Foundation. Does everyone know what the Gen Ed Foundation is? Okay. Yeah. So they're sort of a, they're sort of an organization outside of Cornell that specifically helps create mental health, like better than mental health resources. So they actually like consult with lots of other institutions as well, right here. Yeah. They consult with other institutions and sort of help them build up their mental health resources, and sort of evaluate and then they give suggestions on improvement. So right now Cornell is doing sort of this internal review with the Jet Foundation regarding the mental health services here at Cornell. So they're like still very early on in that process. So they haven't like, you know, really publicly put out like a formal report. There's some sort of like informal stuff that's going around. It's not like formal here's how we're evaluating everything. So it's Alex. Right away, one of our research officers that when they say we also have several external communities that are still vacant regarding mental health, or like you know something that you really care about, or like you know something that you need to speak to, people that really care about this and that might be interested in joining all of these communities. Can I have it all our thoughts on the student health insurance plan and my community? We also have to build it on the University Council on Mental Health and Welfare. We have to build it on the World Cancer Network. We have to build it on the Council on Change and Intervention. We have to build that one. And we have to build the President's Council on Alcohol and Other Drugs, and then the University of Mental Health and Welfare. So we still have a lot of competition to do. We do not believe that our first thing we have to do is to I think that there's a lot of people who are open to anything that you know.
Nick, did you want to add anything? Okay, cool. Any questions?
Okay, so the next DISC meeting is next Wednesday, which is February 21st at 1:30 p.m. in 130 Street, Emerson Hall. And if you want to get on the listserv to talk to the chair of DISC, who's not here tonight, you should email EPL49.
Questions? And programming?
The update is that I still have quite a bit of money left for co-sponsorship, so if there are any clubs or organizations that would like to co-sponsor an event with the entire graduate professional student community, get in contact with me, and we can see what we can make happen. My net ID is BJC365.
Any questions? Faculty awards?
Yeah, so I'm currently recruiting people for the faculty award. I would need people to help me advertise the award to the students. So ideally, I would like someone from each division or from multiple departments to help me do the advertisement. For example, I would be working on the online platform. And also, I would need people to help me evaluate the letters or the comments the students submit to us to get the awardees. So I think we're going to meet next time. I will send an email to the GSA. Otherwise, if you have questions, my NID is AD689 at Cornell. Yeah.
Do you have an email that we can send to our field rep or through our field rep to our department to send to our department about the faculty award?
Yeah, so if people from the department have questions, they can direct it to me directly. And we're working on, a flyer that gives explain how it works and explains how students can vote for their faculty. And within the next 2 weeks, that flyer will be in. And also, there's a website for public exact address. But the website actually is it online?
It's on Slack.
Okay.
So it's on Slack. Share on Slack. Okay.
Yeah. And you can also share the website and all the information.
Other questions? Okay, thank you. General comedy?
We don't have anything in specific for feedback or to communicate with the assembly. However, I would like to tell you something that we did at the previous meeting, which is we looked at a bunch of programs that are now that apply to the general committee to be recognized part of the graduate school. We also looked at faculty and appointments of faculty to gender body and such. The reason I mention these is this is the kind of work that you will be involved in if you're on the general committee, and therefore, if this excites you, stay tuned to apply to be on the general committee.
Okay, any questions? Or Becca, did you want to add anything? Okay, thank you. Consensual relationship policy committee.
Okay, so we continue to put together our policy and seek input, and in the spirit of that, I have a question for the room. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand from one of two options. The options are, should graduate students and professional students be able to have relationships with faculty in their fields who are not their special committee or chair or DGS? Professional students, I realize this doesn't quite apply to you in the same way. Or, are the faculty in your field too close to have ethical relationships with? No, you shouldn't have relationships with them. Show of hands, this doesn't bind you to anything. I just want a sense.
Wait.
Should you not, first off, you should not be able to have relationships with faculty in your field.
Second option, reviewing their NAR in committee or?
Second option, you should be able to have relationships with faculty in your field who are not your committee, DGS, or chair.
This is exactly.
Third option, just for full whatever, you should be able to have relationships with whoever in your field. Thank you all.
Thank you. Any questions or comments for Anna?
We want feedback. Send us feedback. listen, and I need your feedback. AFW47.
Thank you. We have the grad school.
Ask me a question.
How was your weekend?
All weekend. Who else is trying to be a productive writer in the new year? Seriously? Just two of us? Thanks for asking. You can always email me at jen.allen. pronounce.edu, and I'll be happy to answer your questions.
Thank you, Jen. And then we have the next.
Yeah, so we continue to be having conversations with administrators regarding sort of mental health for graduate professional students and the GED report. We passed that information over to SAC, and so we're sort of going to take a point on it from now on. So if you're interested in that, or you're particularly encouraged or enthused after our division breakout meeting, please go talk to either us or them. The second thing is that regarding the executive committee update from the last meeting, circumstances have changed, and so we will not be making that motion. And if you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to talk to people about it in private, but not on the general body board.
Any other?
No, that's it. That's all you have to
do. Any questions? Okay. Thank you. And now we have new business. Resolution 9 in support of EARA institutional commitment to all LGBTQ plus members of the Cornell community. We have Elena and Manisha. I also sent out supplemental information on this, and I hope everybody got it. I know, very shortly before the meeting, because I just got the information earlier today, too.
Hi, everyone. So my name is Elena. I'm a third year plant biology PhD student. Today I'm here talking to you as one of the co-presidents of OSTEM. I think the other co-president is here today, actually. Also, so I brought my computer up because, like Rena said, there was some like supplemental information that came out today, and I'm trying to keep track of everything. So this is just some background on this resolution. It does involve, well, I'm going to do my best to explain what's happening, and then Manisha can correct me if I get totally wrong. But so this involves basically a response to the response to the Employee Assembly Resolution 8, which was calling for, and which was in response to like a directive by the Dean of Students that the Lesbian, Gay, Transgender Resource Center, bisexual, I forgot that, that's embarrassing, LGBTRC Resource Center only support students and no longer support faculty and staff. And so the Employee Assembly wrote a resolution asking them to rescind this directive and also to provide additional support for the Resource Center, with kind of the thought that perhaps they rescinded the support because they didn't have enough resources at the center. And so the president responded, and that's public, and it's also quoted a lot in this resolution, and said essentially, like, no, it's a better idea to keep this separate, and we're also not going to be adding any additional support to the LGBTRC. And so kind of like a group of us that overlap with the UA Campus Welfare Committee and the Student Assembly got together to write a response to this, because we don't think it's useful to split up the LGBTRC and to have faculty and staff go through HR when they were directed to go through HR and for HR to consult with the LGBTRC on matters related to these issues. So we think if that's already happening, why should we not just have everybody go to the LGBTC in general? And also, the LGBTRC needs more support. Okay, I think that's all I want to say right now. Does anyone have any questions?
So we'll go into question and answer. I have first person on the list, Matt, and then I'll have to.
First off, thank you very much for bringing the resolution forward. My question is relatively simple. It's just direct requisition by the Dean of Students. So my question is, per the Student Assembly's charter, that body has the legislative authority over the Office of the Dean of Students. So I mean, is the resolution moving through there as well?
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. I didn't serve in the Student Assembly, I remember one of the few powers they do have is the Dean of Students is under them legislatively, so it makes sense. It seems that we're recommending they can have a little bit more overage looking to the whole assembly to have.
Yeah, I guess I should have been more clear when I said that the SA, the UA, and people from the GPSR are working on it, and then we aim to have resolutions moving through all three bodies. So, yeah.
So I was kind of confused about this when I was reading through it, and I'm still a little bit confused. Is this primarily just an administrative change that we're protesting? So in essence, we're just saying that the way staff are being directed is directly, like, we're just we're kind of just arguing about the directive that staff should go through a different body, because they're using the same resource. It's not clearly exactly what we're saying about that.
So, in summary, before this directive was issued, staff and faculty were allowed to go and participate in the resources and programming that was being put on by the LGBTRC. And then the LGBTRC was then issued this directive that told them, you're no longer really supposed to go through the LGBTRC, you have to go through the Division of Human Resources instead. But not only is the Division of Human Resources, now your primary person, they're technically going to the LGBTRC anyways, to get training and support. That's sort of the reasoning behind the whereas clause. I can't remember where it starts, something like. '82, where the statement acknowledges the fact that this Division of Human Resources is not fully equipped to provide support for the LGBTQ+ staff and faculty. So it's sort of one of those things that they've now been directed to not go to the LGBTRC and instead to go through Division of Human Resources, but Division of Human Resources is going through LGBTRC anyways. So if this was technically done to only to make sure that they focus on student needs, that doesn't really serve that purpose. Also, the foundation of the LGBTRC was to be the central hub of LGBTQ+ life on campus. And having talked, Elena and I are both members of Out in STEM. The other individual who's also the sponsor is also an LGBTQ+ student, and we don't really endorse this idea that we should fracture the LGBTQ community and send them to two different places. So that's also part of the reasoning of, we think that every LGBTQ+ member of this community should have access to the resources and support and programming put on by the LGBTRC. So that's sort of the motivation behind it, and essentially reinforcing the employees that we've asked.
So do you have a sense of why that, what the motivation from the administration was for that directive?
This is my speculation, but I think it was resources. I think that they didn't have the resources to keep supporting faculty and staff at the resource center.
Well, yeah, they say in the response to the employee assembly to best support the unique needs of LGBTQ students, but we haven't talked to any students that have asked for this change to be made.
Also, if you were here last week, you heard me ask about how there's usually two full-time staff members at the RC, and there's currently only one serving in an intern position and doing the work of two people. So
I had John.
Yeah, I think another point is that I think generically human resources offices are concerned with legal compliance and trying to get the university not break the law without employees, right? Rather than to support employees on a monthly basis or to form a community of more employees. There's a concept that human resources is like a resource center, but in most places, it's not the case.
And Nate.
Yeah, so I'm going to go back to Tyler's point. I think actually it's explained to me that the new administration now looking at the budget process, as we have a resource center that's under the Dean of Students and should be helping students, but it's also the money coming from the student pot of money, but it's helping more than just students, it's helping also employees and other people. And so they're trying to, I think, try to bring more organization to their budget lines as they see it. Money for students, from students, helping students, and not money from students helping staff. Although it's weird in my mind, as it seems like you either have your budget items, your budget items separated, but then you separate the community, or you can mix your budget items and have a little bit of complexity there and keep the community together. So,
any other questions? So that concludes the introduction. We'll wait until the next meeting for a formal discussion on that resolution.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda is open forum. Any comments?
Oh, I have a question.
Okay.
How does the process work that we started last time where we warned people to move on to remove them?
We didn't do that. So, there was only one in the BARC charter, the bylaws state that anyone who has more than two absences can be unseated by the executive committee. Only one person had more than three absences, and that person has been unseated. We sent warnings to people who had two absences to let them know. If we want to remove that member as a voting member, we have to at least wait until the next GTSA meeting. They're in our bylaws, it says they get at least one meeting before we remove them, and then the GTSA Executive Committee can vote to remove that individual. So we have to hear back from that individual whether or not they would like to come and plead their case and remain a voting member. If we don't hear back from them, we will most likely remove them.
I was just curious if that takes into account the fact that, at least for veterinary students, and I'm not sure if this is true for other professional students, our rates are often quite different, and so sometimes there are actually GPSA meetings scheduled during veterinary student rates. So that could count against professional student voting members.
So it hasn't technically explicitly stated out, but that's also why the GTSA Executive Committee votes on it. So it could be one of those things where we vote and say, we're not going to remove a professional school student because their grades fall at the GTSA federal body meeting. I can say that the individual who was unseated was not a professional school student.
I just wanted to know.
Yeah. But that's sort of why I think there's a leeway for the Executive Committee to take into account, this individual had good reason for, missing a meeting or two, and we don't think it's worth it to unseat them.
This is for field reps as well?
No, this is for voting members. Attendance for field reps members is linked to field funding status to the GTSA-SC. So we send that information to the GTSA-SC, and then they take that into account when they're making tier allocation.
Any other remarks?
Next on the agenda is adjournment. Second, any dissent to adjourn it now? Seeing none.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.